make Sally have that one again. She'll come to that one.
She'll sit right here.
She'll leave it for
thank you. We gather on this Lord's Day to encounter the one who changed our lives. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Way to begin our time of worship this day. Thank you, Bert. Thank you, Mark, for our prelude this morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to gather in the Lord's house this day on this first Sunday in March, this third Sunday in the season of Lent. May this new month provide opportunity to connect with the one who makes all things new. If you are a first-time guest with us, thank you for joining us for worship this day. For those that are watching us this morning on Facebook Live, thank you for joining us online for worship this morning. I encourage you to go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org. There you can pull up our worship bulletin. Use that as a resource for our morning worship service today. Also use it as a resource for ministries coming up in the life of our church. If you're watching us for the first time online this morning, send me an email this week and let us connect later on this week and share what First Baptist Elon is all about. For those that are gathered here in our sanctuary today and for those watching us online, just a reminder about things coming up this afternoon and this week for us here at First Baptist. Reminder this afternoon, handbells, your practice is at 3 o'clock this afternoon as y'all prepare for Holy Week. Also, reminder to our adults, this afternoon at 4 p.m. will be the next session in our Lenten Bible study, The Way. And in the second session that we'll be looking at this afternoon, we'll be looking at Jesus' healing ministry. And for those that joined us last week, this week, Adam Hamilton will be taking us in the Holy Land to Capernaum. And in that video, it gives us an opportunity to see where a lot of the healing ministry that Jesus did in the Bible took place. So I hope you'll join me this afternoon at 4 p.m. in person upstairs in the fellowship hall or online on Facebook Live. Of course, the video is always better in person, and discussion is always better in person. So join me this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Our youth will be meeting tonight at 5 o'clock following the adult study. Looking ahead to this week, I do want to remind our church family and everyone that we are a host site for elections, and this Tuesday is primary election time, and so our fellowship hall will be used all day on Tuesday of this week. It will be a very busy time here at First Baptist, so if you need to come by the church on Tuesday, please use the lower parking lot, I will encourage you not to stay away from the church on Tuesday, but unless you need to come here, I would stay away, just to be quite honest with you. It'll be a busy day on Tuesday, but we like to provide that service to our community, and Tuesday will be a busy day. However, I do also want to remind our senior adults that the senior adult breakfast is this Tuesday, 9 o'clock at Carver, so if anybody wants to join that group, they'll be meeting there at the restaurant at 9 a.m. Looking ahead to this week as well, Wednesday's choir practice, and then looking ahead to next Sunday, a reminder to our ministry teams that church council will be meeting next Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m., so go ahead and mark your calendar for that. Gay also wanted me to mention about the senior adult trip coming up to Raleigh in just a couple weeks. She needs you to sign up if you're planning on going to that trip. It will be a wonderful time of trip and learning about the history of our state, but also an opportunity to learn about just the birthplace of the capital of Raleigh and how it came about. So sign up for that trip. They'll be eating also at the State Farmers Market for lunch on that trip. I think it's March 21st, right? March 21st is the date. Sign up sheets all around the church this morning. Our March missions in-gathering, we are collecting items to continue the support of our bingo ministry and birthday celebrations at the Senior Center at Golden Years. So if you have items you would like to pick up, they're listed in your bulletin, the things that we need. Those and they're also found in your March newsletter. So pick those items up and drop them off in the Communication Center or upstairs in the Fellowship Hall. And finally, I want to say thank you. Thank you for your generosity during this past month as we raised money for our Share the Love offering for our international missionaries. Last Sunday was our focus date, but I know many of you donated throughout the month of February, and we raised over $2,200 for the international missionaries that we support here at First Baptist. So thank you for your support. That offering will be divided between the Fushis in Japan, the Rogers in Africa, and McLean Wilson in Zambia. So thank you for your support. And I will say, someone asked me this morning, it's not too late to get to that offering. If you would like to support them, you can still turn that in, and we will make sure it gets to those three individuals, those three family groups for the Share the Love offering. But thank you for your generosity. We gather here today during the season of Lent to draw closer to Jesus Christ, who gave his life so we can experience new life in him. Let us lift our praise to him this morning because he is worthy of our praise. Let's worship him this morning.
Our first hymn is Worthy of Worship. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you.
This morning, our opening scripture reading comes from Psalm 19. Listen to these words, a psalm of David. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its here. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I think that is what we're called to bring to worship every single Sunday. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart be pleasing in your sight. May that be our thought and our focus this day as we worship. Let us go to him in prayer this morning. Creator God, you call us on this day from our busy lives to find knowledge and rest in this holy place. Center our spirits in your love. Open our hearts to your transforming word, for we are ready to realign our spirits, remember your words, and walk in your path. Guide us in wisdom and truth as we seek to follow your word this day. Amen.
Our next hymn this morning is I Sing the Mighty Power of God. Let's stand and sing together.
I sing the mighty power of God that made the mountains.
This morning, our Old Testament scripture reading comes from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. I'm sure these words are very familiar with most of us today, and I actually think one of our Sunday school classes were talking about this passage this morning. Listen to these words. "And God spoke all these words, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not cover your neighbor's house. You shall not cover your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." As we think about those words that were given to the Israelite people so many years ago, what we, I think, sometimes forget is that God loved his creation, his people. He loves each one of us so much that he gave us laws. He gave us rules to follow for an ordered society. Sometimes I think we forget that and how we can be transformed by simply following his commands. That's why we're here. We are here on his day, that Sabbath day. And we're called to keep it holy. And how do we do that? We worship. We worship him. That's why we're here. May we lift this holy day to him today as we sing again this morning.
As we sing our next song, I want you to think about something. How much Jesus loves you, how much he loves me, as we sing, "Oh, how he loves you and me." Let's stand.
Remain standing for the offertory prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us and for giving us the gift of abundant and eternal life. Everything we have, Lord, is a gift from you. We bring our tithes and offerings to you today, Lord, as an act of love and worship. Please multiply what we give today for the growth of your kingdom, Lord. Please empty us of sin and fill us with your Spirit, that you may mold us and make us more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Mark, for our special music today. If you would, let's go to the Lord in prayer again this day. And as at the beginning, may we spend a few moments in silent confession as we've spent a little bit of time during the season of Lent in quiet reflection as we seek to prepare ourselves to place ourselves in a better place as we seek to draw closer to Him. So let's spend a few moments in silent preparation for prayer. Let's pray. God, you call us in our lives to take a risk, to be like the woman in the gospel who reached out to Jesus for healing for herself. Let us ponder just for a moment the places in our lives where we may resist turning to you for healing and change. When we resist your call to open our hearts to allow the freshness of your grace to enter, Father, have mercy. When we close our eyes to your new and unexpected possibilities of healing and reconciliation in our lives, Christ, have mercy. When we let fear overwhelm us and cling to the security of what we know instead of risking new steps towards your freedom and justice, Holy Spirit, have mercy. God, we are thankful that your mercies are fresh every single morning. In Christ, Father, you offer forgiving grace and welcome us into a community of trust, abundance, and hope guided by your Holy Spirit. May we give thanks for your mercy this day, yet not just this Lenten Sunday morning, but every single morning. And we give you thanks. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship here at First Baptist Elon on this Lenten Sunday morning. Let me ask a question. How many of you woke up early enough to see the dense fog this morning? Raise your hand. It was thick. It was thick. I came to church at 7 o'clock this morning. Before I left, my wife said, there's a dense fog advisory out. Be careful driving to church. So I did like anybody else would do. I turned my high beams on and started going, and I could only see about 10 feet in front of me, and every other car that was on the road this morning had done the same thing, and I was sharing with our prayer group that meets at 9:20 every Sunday morning, that everyone is invited to come in the sanctuary on Sunday morning. You can bring your cup of coffee if you want to as well. But anyway, so I was sharing with the prayer group this morning that was driving through town, the roads here at Elon, and turned a corner and driving slow, had my high beams on, and went around a curve, and there were four deer standing right in the middle of the road. And I was like, thank you, Lord, for me going slow. Thank you, Lord, for high beams. And it just reminds me, and thank you, Lord, for my wife, you reminded me about the fog. Thank you, Brian, for that. But it also reminded me that God's creation is protected. He embraces his creation. And the deer this morning, which I never see on any other Sunday morning coming to church, but on this Sunday morning, that fog was just there. And they felt the safety of being out at 7 o'clock this morning. Our God is great. Our God is beautiful. He just sent me a message this morning. So for that, we are thankful. Again, thank you for joining us this morning for worship on this Lenten Sunday morning. I'll be continuing my Lenten sermon series this morning, Seekers. Each Sunday during the season of Lent, we have been looking at gospel stories of individuals who have sought out Jesus for specific reasons and had their lives changed by these encounters. Now, 2 weeks ago, we read the story of Nicodemus, a man who sought out Jesus, seeking Jesus for the truth of who Jesus was, of his identity, but also seeking out Jesus for some answer to some faith questions that he had, and whose life was changed by a nighttime encounter with our Christ. Last week, we read the story of the rich man who came to Jesus seeking direction about his spiritual life, only to turn away when Jesus identified the one area that seemed to hold him back, which was his great wealth. This morning, we continue the exploration of our Lenten theme as we consider one of the very frequent reasons why people seek out Jesus even today. Today we examine the story of the bleeding woman, a woman who was seeking help. A recent Gallup poll showed that 90% of prayer that is lifted to God has something to do with an individual being in need. They need something, and so they lift a prayer to God. That's a stunning number. 90% is if you have something that you need and you go to God for. The help we need might be for a financial hardship. We seek the Lord for help in times of sickness or when we're facing grave peril. We might need help for a relationship. We may be in need of strength or endurance. We pray for help with patience and to improve our character. We need help in so many different ways, and we go to Christ. People have been seeking help from the Lord ever since they began calling on the Lord's name. The psalmist repeatedly calls upon the Lord for help. Psalm 75 says, "You are my help and my deliverer, O Lord. Do not delay." Psalm 124:8 says, "Our help is in the name of the Lord." Psalm 121 verses 1 and 2 says, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come from?" Everybody knows this next line, right? "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." This morning, we once again look at an anonymous individual from the Gospels. We may not know her name, but what we do know is this. She came seeking Jesus for help. She needed help. Let's read the story of the bleeding woman seeking help. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Mark chapter 5, verses 24 through 34 this morning. The words will be displayed on the worship screens behind me. There are Bibles in the pew as well if you would like to follow along that way. Now, as you turn to this passage, as we look to this passage, right before this story in Scripture, actually in the middle of this story in Scripture, another individual has come to Jesus for help. Another man by the name of Jairus, a synagogue official, seeks out Jesus for help to come and heal his sick daughter. So Jairus comes to Jesus and says, come to my house quickly. My daughter is very sick. I need you to come see her. I need you to come and heal her. So Jesus and the disciples are on the way to Jairus' house when our encounter with the bleeding woman takes place. Well, I'm going to jump to the end to tell you what happened in the story of Jairus' daughter. We probably all know the story. Jairus' daughter, they don't get there in time. A person comes and tells Jairus, "It's too late, your daughter has died." Jesus goes to Jairus' house, goes inside with Peter, James, and John and Jairus. They go inside, and Jesus brings the little girl back to life. So Jairus sought him out for help, and he got his help. But this is the story that takes place in the middle of this venture. Reading Mark chapter 5, verses 24 through 34. "So Jesus went with him." That's when he was talking about Jairus. "A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She has suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and has spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowd against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." The woman had been suffering from a bleeding ailment for 12 years. Now, many biblical scholars have debated what was this ailment that she had. I think sometimes we can lose sight of the importance of a story by getting lost in the detail discovery. So we're not going to go there today. But what we do know is this, that this anonymous woman had sought out help from many doctors to resolve the medical issue that she had. Now, none of them had been able to cure her of the problem. In the process, we can assume probably that she has spent all of her money on a cure that had not been found. She was lost. She was not just lost physically, that's what we know definitely, but she was probably lost financially, she was definitely lost emotionally, and maybe and probably she was lost spiritually. But now Jesus had drawn near. The great healer was passing by. She had heard of his ability to cure the sick and even cast out demons. And now he was near at hand. So she musters the courage to seek him out for help. Let's just pause here just for a moment and consider something. Is seeking out Jesus for help your first choice, or is it your last choice? When you are in a time of need, is Jesus the first person you go to, or is he the last person you go to? Do you go to every other possible source first before you fall on your knees and reach out for the hem of his cloak? I hope our story today will teach us that we should readily come open to the Lord with every possible need we have first, not last. Now, the woman's bleeding problems render her religiously unclean. Knowing the Jewish law of that day, for approximately 12 years, she had not been allowed to participate in any religious ceremonies. Probably, if she would have touched another person, the person she would have touched would have been considered religiously unclean as well. So this has left this woman for 12 years isolated from society. How many of you like to spend time alone? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Maybe for a day, right? A couple hours? A week? How many of you like to spend a time a week alone, by yourself? A month? A year? I don't see any hands. 12 years. 12 years she had been alone, isolated from society. Now, she had sought out help in society, and they could give her nothing. But when she hears that Jesus is near, she dares to risk touching him. She says to herself, If I would just touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. In his fame, crowds have surrounded Jesus wherever he went. They probably heard that he was going to Jairus' home, and so they were going to crowd. They wanted to see what he was going to do. Jesus was not aware of the woman who would have been considered by society unclean. The woman dives into the scrum of the people and elbows her way to get to Jesus. With faith, she touches his outer cloak and feels herself to be healed immediately. Now, when the power of healing leaves Jesus, he senses that some of his energy has gone on to someone else. He stops and he asks, "Who just touched me?" And of course, his disciples are thinking, "Well, that guy and that guy and that guy and that guy and that woman and that woman. All these people have touched you, Jesus. How in the world are we supposed to figure out who touched you?" But Jesus is looking for the woman. He knows that somebody in need has been seeking him out. Yet the woman of great faith, who has been healed by this simple touch, knows that her very slight touch has been detected. Why? Because she and Jesus had connected. They had connected. She went seeking Jesus, and she connected with the one who could heal her. When we come to Jesus seeking help, whatever we are facing, our presence and our request does not go undetected. It never goes undetected. Believe and trust that you are known by Jesus and are precious to him. Your requests are heard. He is looking in the crowd and he's looking for you. And the woman knows it. And the woman publicly confesses that she is the one who touched him. She, who was not allowed to touch anybody else, has dared to touch the holy man this day. She, the one who has been isolated for 12 years, is no longer lonely. She tells him, as Scripture says, the whole truth. She doesn't hold anything back. She tells him everything. She spilled out her whole story of the 12 long years of suffering, of seeking help, her lonely isolation and desolation. And Jesus listens. He hears her whole story. And then he calls her something that probably brought tears to her eyes. He calls her daughter. Someone who has been isolated for 12 entire years. Someone who could touch nobody. Someone who had been shunned. All of a sudden is called daughter. Jesus wants to hear your whole story too. Jesus wants to know everything. Sometimes we can be hesitant as to what qualifies as prayer worthy, what's worthy of God's time. Ever had that conversation in your head? Well, this is not as important as what's going on in their lives, so I'm going to keep this one to myself. No. He wants to hear it all. Maybe we say we should not trouble the Lord with our petty problems and concerns. The items that we want to bring before him seem trivial or even selfish. We think a better person would not ask for such things. Or we think, I've already brought this to the Lord before, not only once, but on several occasions. I should not bother him with it again. I don't want to be a nag. He wants to hear it over and over and over again. Because if it's weighing you down, if it's a need that you have, he wants to hear it. But friends, pay attention to what Jesus calls her again. Daughter. He calls her his daughter. He wants to call you his son or his daughter. And you know how small children are, right? You've heard them babble on and on about the most trivial things in the world, right? We've been in those conversations before. They're unfiltered. It comes straight from their heart. Whatever they think, they say it. Didn't our Lord tell his disciples, "Let the little children come to me"? When we pray to Jesus, when we seek him for help, let us not hold back. Respond with the faith of the woman who touched Jesus' cloak. Tell him everything. As Scripture says, the whole story. And guess what he'll give? The help we need. It may not look like what we think it might look like, but he'll give it. It'll be the help we need, because our help is in the name of the Lord. As we close this morning, I wanted to share just one more story. Sometimes we realize the needs that we have, and sometimes we don't. It's the story of a 7-year-old little boy named Billy who was facing open heart surgery. The surgeon comes into the hospital room the day before to meet with Billy's parents and the little boy, and he's talking to the little boy, and he says, the surgeon says to Billy, he says, "Tomorrow morning, I'm going to have surgery with you." He says, "I'm going to go in, and we've got to check on your heart." And Billy nods, and he says, "I'm going to go in, and I'm going to open up your heart." Billy replies back very quickly, "You'll find Jesus there." The surgeon continued, "I'm going to open up your heart, and I need to check for any damage that might be there." Billy responded quickly again, "You'll find Jesus there. Now, when I see the damage that may be there, I'm going to have to close you back up, and I'll think about what the next steps that we may need to take," the surgeon said. Billy responded, "You'll find Jesus there. My Sunday school teacher told me that Jesus lives in my heart. She says so in the Bible. And besides that, our Sunday school song says that he lives there." The surgery took place the next day. After the surgery, the surgeon began to make notes of what he found. And after he saw the condition of Billy's heart, in his mind, he realized that there was no hope. No cure for the damage that his heart had taken place. There was no further steps to be taken. The little boy would probably die within a matter of months. The thought began to get to the doctor. And all of a sudden, the doctor shouted out to God, "Why did you do this to this little boy? Why can't he live a normal life?" In that moment of need, in that moment of reaching out for help, God spoke to the surgeon's heart and said this, "Billy is a part of my flock, and he will always be a part of my flock. When he is with me, there will be no more suffering and pain. He will have my comfort, and he will have my peace. One day his parents as well will join him, and my flock will continue to grow. One day, hopefully, you will join my flock, and the flock will continue to grow." So the next day, the surgeon went into Billy's room and sat down with the parents and shared the news about what he had found. And after sharing the news with Billy's parents, Billy began to open his eyes and wake up from the surgery. He said, "Doctor," Billy said this, "Doctor, what did you find in my heart?" And with tears flowing down the doctor's cheeks, the surgeon said, "I found Jesus there." When we need help, we should seek Jesus first. He's always there. He is always present to meet our needs. Sometimes we may know what the needs are, whether they're physical, emotional, spiritual. Like the bleeding woman, like Billy, you can see what the needs were. But sometimes we may not know the needs that we are facing. Maybe like the doctor in this story. But guess who does? Jesus always does. He always knows our needs. So don't hold it back. Don't hold it back. May we seek him with faith and be amazed at how our lives will be changed. Physically, emotionally, but I can guarantee you, definitely spiritually. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for the faith of a woman who in the midst of a crowd had the faith to reach out for help to our Christ. And in doing so, her life was changed. Father, may we too reach out to you when we are in need. Whatever the need is, how great or how small in our eyes, it is a need that you see, you know, and you are waiting for us to seek you for help. Father, may we model that same faith as the bleeding woman in Scripture this day and every day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of closing this day, maybe spiritually this day for the very first time, you recognize that Jesus has been reaching out to you, and you recognize that He is the one that can change your life for the better forever. Maybe today you want to join His flock. I'll be down front. You can come and talk to me about what it means to embrace Him as your Savior. Maybe you're looking for a church family who's just seeking to honor Him through comforting others and serving as His hands and feet in this world. Maybe First Baptist Elon can be that home for you. I can talk to you about what it means to join our family of believers here. Or maybe today you've been struggling. Maybe there is a need in your life that you've been keeping, suppressing it down, pushing it down in your life. Or maybe there's a need that you're very fully aware of. You've been bringing it to God, whatever it is. You just need to pray to Him. You can pray in the pew. You can come to the altar. It's His altar. I'll pray with you up front. Whatever the need is, don't put it off. Pray about it. Seek Him today. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn this morning. In this world, maybe you see need in this world. Be those hands and feet as you reach out to others. Maybe today you're struggling with the need that you might have. Seek Him. Seek Him. He is ready to embrace you. Today is that day. Seek Him today. Go in peace.